Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. God bless each and every one of you. Well, what an honor it is to come and be in your presence one more time, just to stand here and just confess that I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful for another day's journey. It's been a good day, and I'm just glad to be a part of Alive and the Living. We've come to another Friday, and I know you may have had a long week and different things have been through the week, but I've heard a lot of good news from you out here in Blog Talk Land, and I just appreciate all of the sharing that you do with me and all of the lessons that you see that are just coming into your life, especially the new ones that have given their life to Christ, and now you're just calling in and you're emailing me, just testifying of some of the goodness and even some of the struggles that you have been going through, but how you're dealing with them differently than you would have dealing with them before you invited Christ to take a part of your life. And that's exactly who he is. That's exactly why we need him, because, you know, he's our provider. He provides us peace in the midst of our wars. He didn't say we would stop being in trouble. He didn't say we would stop having wars, because it's never going to be that situation as long as we're on this side. But he said that, you know, once you've invited him to come and live inside of you, be a part of you, that he will show you a new way of dealing with things. He will keep you at peace when you normally would have flew off the handle. Because when you fly off of the handle, it's nothing been solved. You're not solving anything. Nothing at all. And he said that I'm just going to show you a new way of living. I'm going to show you a new way of thinking. I'm going to open up your eyes from where you was blind. When I'm going to put you on a right pathway from where you was lost. You thought you was going somewhere. You thought it meant something. I'm going to show you differently. That all of this time that you've just been going around and around and around and going nowhere. But I'm here to set you free. I'm here to deliver you. These are the words of your Creator. So God bless you. I intercede with you. I just thank God for each and every one of you. Because he's just an awesome God. He really is. He's such an awesome God. And we praise him and we give him all of the glory. But just who he is in our lives. So if you have something that you want to share with us, continue to share. Continue to share. God bless each and every one of you. You never, someone said, I hate to keep bothering you, but I just got to tell you about something else that happened. Bother me? No, that's what God has set me here for. He's bind us together that we are supposed to be here for each other. You're not bothering me. It's a joy just to hear the joy in your lives and the stories that, you know, God has set in your minds that you need to tell somebody about it. I had somebody say, well, you went off the air, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I needed, you told me I needed to tell somebody, so I'm emailing you because I just want to tell you about it. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you about it. So I just thank God for that, and I'm glad that you were able to do that, and we were able to exchange numbers, and I just hear about what he's doing for you, how you're feeling, what it is that he's done. So just keep on keeping on, keep on doing what you're doing, and don't let nobody stop you. And just remember to be blessed. I'll be right back. waiting for me. And watch God change things. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I'll pray for you. You just keep right on praying for me. And then watch God. Watch him. Watch God change things. Our scripture is coming from Matthew. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, starting at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9 says, this then is how you should pray. You say, Evangelist, how should I pray? Here we are, Matthew 6, at verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. And then give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and all the glory, not just now, but forever and evermore. Amen. And if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God bless the reader and the doer and the hearer of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our spirit. And receive our thanksgiving right now. Together on this broadcast. Amen. Scripture reading again with Matthew 6, 5 through 14. Matthew, New Testament, 6, 5 through 14. When you pray for me, as I pray for you, it's important that we know how to start our prayer. It is important that we, as Christians, watch the things that we say. Watch the things that we do. Because we want to be separated from the pagans. We are Christians, so we should be doing things as Christ has taught us to do. A short story. A pastor was building a fence, and while the neighbor's young son watched, the pastor smiled and said, "Interested in carpentry, huh?" The little boy replied. He said, "No. I just wanted to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." See, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. Ever read. And they're watching to see how your life lines up with what you profess. They're watching you. They're watching to see how your life, actually the real life, not the life that they see on Sunday morning, not the life that they see when you know that the pastor or the evangelist is stopping by, but the life that they see when you're on your job every day. You know that life. The life that they see when you're at your child's sporting event and something's not going the way that you think it should be. The play wasn't called the way that you think it should be called. That life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that life. The life that when you're stuck in traffic and someone cuts you off, or they merge in on you, or they refuse to allow you to merge in, and you've had a hard day, and you're on your way home, and you're tired, or you're trying to get somewhere, or you overslept, and now you're out there rushing, trying to get to wherever you're trying to go. And nothing else matters but your needs, where you want to get to. So you selfishly call everybody else all types of names because they are in your way. What a selfish thing to do. Self-examination. Someone's reading you. Is that the Bible that Christ lived? He lived the Bible. The Bible that you have opened up for someone to read. Is that the same Bible? As you pull in front of them with your fish on the back of your bumper, as you put on there, Jesus loves me, honk if you love Jesus, is that what you're really honking for? Oh, I beg you to check yourself. And that's what we do in times like this. We just come together, not to demean you, but to just bring it to your attention. Bring it to our attention, the things. Sister to sister, brother to brother, sister to brother, brother to sister. To just uplift. Someone is reading your Bible today. They're watching your life, the life that you profess, and the life that you say that you're living. See, some are hoping for confirmation of the life-changing power of Jesus. Some are just waiting to see it. They're hoping that you are for real. And others, they're just hoping for a chance to say, see, Christians are all hypocrites. We want to set a good example. But sometimes we do fall short. And as humbling as it is to mess up, God uses those failures to make it clear that our power is from Him. It's not ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. It's not ourselves. Our power is a gift from Him. It's His power. We're in His presence. And so He lives inside of us. It's His power. God doesn't get over the shortcomings of even the most notable saints. I know the man may think that they do, but God just doesn't gaze over the shortcomings of anyone. They're all written down. So we don't repeat those same mistakes. According to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, and also remember, you know, Abraham, the friend of God, he lied about Sarah being his wife. In Genesis 12, 10 through 20, Moses, the mighty leader, Moses got angry and disobeyed God. David, a man after God's heart, committed adultery, then tried to cover his tracks with murder. In 2 Samuel 11 and 15, Peter, the head of the church, Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, according to the Gospel of Luke 22:54-62. John Mark gave up and went home doing a missionary trip. They're all in there. Paul said, we are just as capable of messing up as they are, as they were. So don't get discouraged when you stumble. We're not here to discourage you. We're not here to demean you. Don't get discouraged when you stumble. Admit your mistakes. This is what it's about. Shining the light on ourselves. Admit your mistakes. We shouldn't always run behind a lie. Admit your mistakes. Apologize to the people involved. ask God for forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Learn from what has happened. And then you move on. But sometimes it's hard to even forgive ourselves. But forgive yourself. And then move on. Hallelujah. You really have to watch what you say. Someone's watching you. Most of us have no idea how much other people's emotions, self-esteem, hopes are influenced by what we say. Paul said that many has been a wonderful encouragement to him. If you've never heard of them, it's because most encouragers hate being the center of attention. Most people who are really the ones that's there to encourage you, they don't really want to be the center of attention. They're happy to work in a support role. But without them, very little would get them. See, the opposite of giving encouragement is spreading discouragement. And Paul said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you'll give account by your words. You will be justified and condemned. By what? By your words. You will be justified and condemned. So you will give account. I will give account by my words. I will give account. We have to live our life understanding that. Every word that we say, we have to give account of. What you say can never be taken back. How many times have it happened to you, or you saw it happen, or maybe yourself? How many times have we all said something that you wish you could take back? You wish that, oh, why did I say that? Well, if I just could just do that over again, say something different. And I'm not talking about the ugly things that the enemy sets and plants in your thoughts and say, why did you allow them to say that to you? You should have came back and said here and that. But I'm talking about the things where you are on the opposite end. You were the one saying the negative thing that hurt someone. You had an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, but instead you lied and made the situation worse. You had an opportunity to just look somebody in the face and said, I love you. But because you wanted to hear them cry, you wanted to see them hurt, you wanted to see them suffer, you looked at them and tore them down even more. That's the thoughts I'm talking about. You have to watch what you say. How many times do you see, or I personally, and I know that you know someone, even the Christians sitting in the church, and we're going through different things, and one situation was a couple that was, you know, she had told me at one point that right before they walked into the church in the car, he had just almost choked her out. Then they walk in the church and they got to be another way and can be nice to everybody else. But come out and then you're angry with each other. You can't forgive each other, but you can forgive everybody else. You have to watch what you do, the way that you live. We all fall short. It happens to the best of us. these things happen. We've given examples of David, again, the man of God, after God's own heart. We've given plenty of examples. It all happens. But again, you have to admit your mistakes. Apologize to those who you've hurt that are all involved in it. Apologize. Ask God for forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Learn from what has happened. And then move on. What you say can never be taken back. And it'll be used as evidence for or against you one day. We should think about that before we open our mouths. Dr. Thomas Blackaby points out a point. He says words can leave scars for a lifetime. And how many people will never forget some of the things that you've said to them? How many people have scars right now from some of the things that you said to them? It may have been when you was a small child. You may be carrying around scars from something that your parents or somebody else said to you, and you still have those scars. I thank God that he has the balm, and he's the balm of Gilead, that he can erase those scars. He's the scar remover. You don't have to carry them around any longer. And you should follow the instructions to admit that you were the one that actually scarred somebody else. We all can look back and say something. Did I hurt this person at this time? Let me ask for forgiveness. Let me apologize to them. Let me ask God to forgive me. Let me learn to forgive myself. Let me learn from those situations that it doesn't happen again. As I move on, before I can move on. You can't just move on without doing the other steps first. You're just going to be going around and around and around. It will happen over and over and over again. But words can leave scars for a lifetime. Now, how many people I said are still walking around, torn up, carrying the scars from something you said? Both good things, such as words of encouragement, is also some things that people are carrying around. How many people have you encouraged, gave a good word of encouragement, and they're still carrying it around with them? You've healed some wound in their heart, and they'll never forget you. May not know your name. It could just be in the grocery store that you just open up your mouth and just say something generous. You may have saw somebody in the line and they was running short of money, and you just stepped up and said, "Put it on my tab." Hallelujah. How many people are walking around with words of encouragement in their heart because of something that you said? Again, wouldn't you rather be on that end? I think we all would anyway, wouldn't we? We don't want to be on the end with knowing that someone's walking around with scars and because of some bad thing, criticism, or that we've said to someone. So I'm going to remind you to make the best possible use of words. Make the best possible use of words. Every word that you speak, make sure that's exactly what you're wanting to say. Make sure that that's the words that you're wanting to cash in on. So that they may bring blessings on others. So I don't care in whatever the situation is. Why don't we just start trying to think about it before we speak? Is this a word that would be a blessing to somebody? That they will be able to, years from now, look back and say, "I'm still encouraged by those words." Or is it something that is going to leave a permanent scar on somebody? Because we know not what people are going through, what they're facing. When you look in the car next to you and you say some horrible thing to them, that could be just the thing that just pushed them over the edge. That could be just the thing to take them home, and now they start on putting that same hurt on someone else in their family. Or they could be just the opposite. It could be that, you know what, they just feel like they're at the end of their rope. Your smile, are you just letting them in traffic? Are you just saying, it's okay, sister? That could be the thing that just changes their mind. They go home into a home and decide that I'm going to be loving today. I'm going to be peaceful today. Someone is dependent on you to open up your Bible, which is your life, and let them read the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's love. They're dependent on you today, sister and brothers. Hallelujah. So are your words encouraging? Can it be said that there's nothing crooked or perverse in your words? As we close, I remind you, ask God to set a guard over your mouth. So whatever you say may glorify him, and whatever you say may lift others up. On this journey, we need each other. And if you have not decided to invite Jesus Christ to take you through this journey personally, he's never too busy for you. He always has you first on his mind. He's wherever you're at, going through whatever you're going through. He's with you. And he has the direction. He sees the end, even before it was the beginning of you. And he knows how to direct you out of the mess that you're in right now. He knows how to bring you through all of the pain that you're going through right now. I invite you to just repeat after me. Lord Father God, I humble myself before you right now. And I admit that I am a sinner. And I need you by my side. I know that you died. You gave your son, Jesus Christ, and he died for me. And I thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. That you bore my sins. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I accept all that your blood shed bought for me on that cross. And I invite you to come and live inside of me. Come and be a part of me. Come and show me how to get out of my mess and get where you are, closer to you, living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you just prayed this prayer, God bless you. You just prayed this prayer. God wants you to know that you have a clean slate with him right now. Right now. And God bless all that are in need as emergency equipment pass by. God bless. Thank you for just being there already. Before the paramedics can get there, he's already there. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. God bless you and keep you. If you prayed the prayer, you need to tell somebody. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here on the blog talk, or you can call in anytime that we're on air. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. I remind each and every one of you, continue to pray for me. This is Evangelist Von Dumas from Tri-Anointed Ministries. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we remind you call and send in your prayer request. I'm thanking God again for my mother, Miss Annabelle Harwell, as she's going back and forth between my brother DeConcelin, who just had hip surgery, a hip replacement on last Wednesday. So she's from Atlanta to St. Louis with my brother, who just this Wednesday just went through surgery for prostate cancer. We're thanking God for the healing of both of them, Reggie and DeConcelin. God is there with you. He will never leave you. And I know you both are in pain right now. But I invite you to, too, lift yourself and try to find yourself above where that pain is. And if you can just get into the praise and the glory of the Lord, it'll take you somewhere new. It'll take you somewhere new. No cross, no crown. God bless you. Don't forget, Jesus is a love song. And you are going to make it. Tell yourself, I'm going to make it.